You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by OnTap Credit Union. They listen carefully to your needs and make sure you have the right services, low-cost loans, and expert financial advice for you, your business, and your employees. Whatever your needs may be, tap into the services at OnTap Credit Union. And now, The Porchcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 65 of The Porchcast. We are joined today by Jose Beteta, co-founder of Raices Brewery here in Denver, Colorado. Jose, how's it going?
Everything is going well, preparing for our grand opening this Saturday.
Yeah, we're very excited to get on that. Also joined today by my co-host, Sam Lael over here on the ones and twos. Sam, how's it going?
Can't complain at all. Doing good.
All right. And I'm Tristan Chan. Of course, this is The Porchcast. Just a reminder to all of our listeners, be sure to follow us on all of your listening devices, whether it's Stitcher, iTunes, or Apple Play, whatever it is. Be sure to give us a follow, and we'll have more great interviews with some of Denver's best breweries here moving forward. So let's get right into it, Jose. Congratulations on your all's grand opening this coming weekend. You all have been operating a little bit over the past couple of months, and really everything kind of kicked off around Suave Fest. Can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to launch with such an iconic festival? And also, we'll get into a little bit more about the grand opening in just a little bit.
Sure. So Suave Fest was kind of like an extension of what we're actually doing here at Raices. And the idea with Suave Fest was, when we first came up with the idea for Raices, we couldn't find any other Latino breweries.
Sure.
And then little by little, we started finding them. Like, okay, there's a little bit more than what we thought. Mm-hmm. Still, the numbers are, it's astronomically low compared to, you know, the nationwide numbers. And we're talking about, you know, people of color owning Latino breweries. I mean, craft breweries.
Yeah.
So when we saw this, we decided, well, you know, let's connect them together, because they seem to be kind of like operating in these little silos, and I think there's power in numbers. Mm-hmm. So we came up with the idea for Suave Fest, to create this community of Latino breweries coming together, getting recognized. Our idea was to highlight them and let people know, hey, there's Latino breweries with talent, with all of these amazing beers and spots that you can go to, and we wanna put them in the spotlight in this festival.
That's really awesome. And we actually did a little preview of the festival on the website. We talked to a couple of the participating breweries, and it's really cool to see all of these different perspectives of people, you know, wanting to highlight, especially here in Denver. I think, you know, you talk about the difference in population, and you know, the Latinx community here is really high comparatively to the United States as well, and the fact that it's so underrepresented in craft beer, it's pretty incredible that you all have started this and made this an awesome place for the community as well. So, you know, in launching that Suave Fest, you all had a little bit of the support from the Brewers Association as well. What was the general feedback from the community from that event?
Oh, they loved it. We found a lot of support, and it was great because from the very beginning, the Brewers Association was on board with their new ideology of putting emphasis on bringing more diversity into the craft beer world.
Totally.
And so we applied to their first offering of diversity and inclusive events, which they opened up that grant opportunity late last year. We applied. We were one of seven projects chosen in the whole country, the only one in the West. And so we were very proud of being able to do that, along with the support that we got from Fresh Fest, which was, we were going into our first festival, and Fresh Fest was going into their second year. And we got a lot of tips from them on how to put this whole thing together. We're no strangers to putting big festivals together and everything, but when it comes to craft beer, we kind of had conversations and rely on them, on their expertise of what things worked, what things didn't work, so that we could apply it to ours.
That's so cool. That's really great that you all were able to collaborate with those guys out there. And,
yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Now, kind of going back to the roots of Raices, you know, I know that you started this with two partners, Martin and Tamil. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all came about to begin with?
This project is, at the very least, 7 years in the making. Mm-hmm. We didn't know it would turn into a brewery at the time.
Sure.
Until about 3.5, close to 4 years ago. But its roots come from many decades ago, actually. And it was due to our upbringing, our background, our families, strong emphasis on culture. Mm-hmm. And especially Tamil, one of our co-founders and owners, she brought in that heart to this project that it needed to make it really distinct. Mm-hmm. So we operate with three main emphases, which is the beer, the food, and the culture. Mm-hmm. Martin, which is our other co-owner, he makes excellent beers. He is a veteran in the craft beer industry. He's been brewing for over 10 years and has worked for some pretty remarkable breweries, now working with ours, and already accumulated up to 18 national titles for his creations. So that's the beer. The food is another important component for us. And food actually falls under community for us. And it's a very important cultural component that talks about, you know, our creation, our arts, our culture, our music. And it encompasses the third component, which is what happens here on a daily basis. At Raices, we have events all the time.
Yeah.
And so the focus of Raices is to celebrate Latin American and Caribbean culture in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And that reflects heavily on everything that we do, the beers, the food that we bring in from outside in collaboration with food trucks and eventually our own kitchen, and then the programming that happens here. Quite a lot of programming happening here that focuses on the celebration of all of Latin America, not just as one container, but out of all of the different subcultures that exist within the whole continent.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I mean, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and I think you all had a drum circle class that was really cool to see. You know, I think that in seeing that in person, you know, it's exactly what you speak of in terms of community. You know, it's offering these authentic, real connections that really pay homage to the background and culture of you know, the Latin community as well. So,
and let me expand a little bit on the remarkable work that Tamil has done in terms of the programming. And, you know, we haven't even officially opened until this Saturday, but you saw the drum circle, which are Caribbean drumming classes, mm-hmm. especially with rhythms that focus on Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. We've had Brazilian parties, we've had Mexican parties here, we've had a couple of weddings already, corporate parties.
Oh, wow.
We've had a film screening that talked about the love of being in the craft beer industry.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm losing count of how many things that we have done here already and the things that are here to come. Mm-hmm. But it's just remarkable the amount of things that we have done, plus the ones that are coming and the ones that we keep coming up with. It's just a lot of programming, but that's what sets us apart from other projects.
Sure.
And not to say that we're better than anybody else, but if anything, I think we're complementing other breweries. We're trying to be helpful with other breweries, and we're highlighting other projects that exist that perhaps don't have the visibility, and we love that. I mean, that's the craft beer industry as a whole. It's collaborative, and mm-hmm. we just love that.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned kind of this whole project goes way back to 7.5 years ago or so, before you all even knew that this was going to become a brewery. What was the initial idea in that beginning phase?
Yeah, we, and when I say we, Tamil and I, we were working on projects that focus heavily on culture. Mm-hmm. She came up with a project called Barrio E, mm-hmm. which is a project that taught and focused on teaching Latin American culture through music, through arts, and other venues. And we had a cultural center. We got to the point where we had a cultural center in Longmont that had activity on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that venue was sold, and it was out of our price range, so we couldn't do anything about it. And then we kind of dug deep and thought, well, you know, what is the next step after this? Mm-hmm. We didn't want to downgrade to what we were already doing and settle with just another location. So we decided to kind of put it in the back burner a little bit and explore different opportunities. Luckily, I believe it was a few months after that, the opportunity for the brewery came up, and it was something that it just kind of came out of the blue. I was in class with some classmates, and after class we went to have some drinks at a local bar, and the next day we were thinking about different ideas for projects, and I kind of blurted out, what about a Latino brewery? So everybody liked that idea, and I was like, okay, well, let me jump on board on this, do a little bit of research, see what happens. And then I started to develop that idea, working on the business plan, working on the feasibility, what was needed, financing, all of these things. So I had the initial idea of the brewery itself, and kind of like a vague idea of what I wanted it to be, a Latino mm-hmm. brewery. But I had not put my finger on exactly what that meant at that moment. When I brought in Martin and Tamil, Tamil helped me put the heart middle of this project.
It's so interesting, because I think it kind of feels like, you know, especially with Tamil's background, it sounds like it started with that community center, that community gathering place first. And, you know, I've been here, I've had the beers, and I'll speak to the fact that, you know, the beer is not at all an afterthought. The beer is fantastic. But, you know, having that kind of heart be the groundwork is something that I think it makes you all so unique, and it speaks true to what you all are trying to accomplish, because that gathering place, at the end of the day, you know, breweries are a gathering place, and it's a community center, and it feels very, very real. Even just being here during that day, I could feel that you all incorporate that into every aspect of who you are as a brewery.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and again, Martin and Tamil helped to create this place into what you see mm-hmm. today. And I know we're on a voice podcast, which is why I invite people to come in here and see it for themselves. But the look and feel of this place is very important, because we wanted it to be something that was representative of what we wanted to do, but also inviting and warm.
Absolutely.
And that's why we let in so much light into this place.
Yeah.
And that's why the space outside is.
I was gonna say, and so you nice. All have that beautiful mural that I walked in on when you all were finishing it
exactly.
the other weekend. So tell us a little bit about that mural too.
So that mural idea was about 4 years ago. We contacted Luis Guillo. He's the artist from Puerto Rico. We mm-hmm. call him Crónico, and he's an underground artist who works in different medias. And we know him from cultural projects that we've been involved in with him as well. And so we told him, hey, can you make a logo for this project that we're thinking about? Yeah. So he made that logo for Raices, and it was everything that we were talking about. He incorporated and captured the vision. If you look at that logo, many people see different things, but what it basically encapsulates is the common denominator between Latino cultures, and in this case it was masks. All of the countries in Latin America and the Caribbean have masks, and which is why we chose this.
Because it brings them all together.
Brings them all together. We incorporated the hop flower in it too. Different masks have different characteristics. Some more human, some more animal. But that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so then when we were thinking about opening this place, we wanted to have a mural. And that first mural, we always had Luis in mind to be the first artist to paint it. Mm-hmm. And then every 2 or 3 years, we would paint a new mural or things like that. So the idea of the mural, if you come and see it, it's that first logo expanded into 9 different entities that highlight different aspects of Latin American culture, our roots. It's a pretty remarkable mural, has a lot of meaning into it, and it's still ongoing, but it will be finished very, very soon. And yeah, you gotta see it. You gotta see it in person.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, but when we return, I would definitely wanna hear more about the grand opening, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into kind of how Latinx breweries fit into the overall landscape of craft beer. There are more and more breweries that have different niches that are popping up, and especially with the Brewers Association's emphasis into diversity and all the stories that we've seen over the past year, I think there's a lot more to dive into in the diversity front. So when we return, we'll speak more with Jose Pateta, co-founder of Raices Brewery here in Denver, Colorado, located right next to the Broncos Stadium. So we'll be back in just a moment. Special thanks to our show sponsor, OnTap Credit Union. With locations in Golden and Arvada, OnTap Credit Union has supported brewery employees for over 64 years. They listen carefully to your needs and make sure you have the right services, low-cost loans, and expert financial advice for you, your business, and your employees. Whatever your needs may be, tap into the services at OnTap Credit Union. That's www.ontapcu.org. All right, everyone, and welcome back to episode 65 of The Porchcast. We are joined by Jose Pateta, co-founder of Raices Brewery here in Denver, Colorado, located at 2060 West Colfax Avenue. They're just on the verge of their grand opening this weekend here on December 7th, correct?
That's right.
All right. We're jumping right back into the conversation, talking a little bit about how Raices got started, and we'll get into a little bit more on various number of topics. But before we do, just a reminder, be sure to follow us on all of your listening devices. And we'll also be sure to give a little shout out to our friends at OnTap Credit Union. They help to get startup breweries financing that they need to really grow and thrive. And so a big shout out to all of our friends over at OnTap Credit Union. All right, Jose, thanks so much for joining us once again. And I want to jump in here. And I think Martin, your brewer, is going to be joining us here shortly. So we'll make some room for him as well. But, before the break, we were talking a little bit about kind of how the culture and the culture of the Latin community kind of fuels what you all do here at Raices. Tell us a little bit more about kind of how you and Martin came together to begin with. How did you all cross paths? And Martin, I know that you have extensive brewing experience previously before this at Dry Dock, I believe, correct? Tell us about your philosophy when it comes to brewing here for Raices, and I know that part of your all's mission is to incorporate a lot of Latin flavors into the beer as well.
Well, hi, thank you for having me. First and foremost, I would say in this stage of the industry, like Denver and the state of Colorado, you certainly have to come out with a game in your beer. So the most important thing for me, obviously, or not obviously, but for me, it's obvious, is the quality of the beer. And going into that same line, I told Jose and Tamil that I thought that at our beginning, it was probably appropriate and convenient in a way that we could show who we are by brewing classic styles before we even start to
have some really fun. Experimental.
Yeah, to have some fun with the ingredients that are out there in the world. But yeah, certainly with programs and ideas on mind to do certain series featuring specific flavors from a whole Latin America and even beyond that, places other than that. But yeah, at the beginning, classic styles, and in a way, probably because the industry and the tendencies, you know, the trends have forgot a little bit about them too.
Sure.
We are a lot into these other ideas and ingredients and ways of doing beers that have been done in certain way for a long time, and then now we're doing them different. For example, the IPA, at some point nobody thought that, well, what else are we going to do with the IPAs? Well, now we have the juices, the hazies, and then it's very easy to incorporate fruits into a style of beer like that.
Sure.
And so yeah, in that sense, first and foremost, having a quality product, a quality beer here, and then from there having the opportunity and open the opportunity, I guess, to say naturally, mm-hmm. To incorporate other flavors.
Totally. You know, I was talking to Jose earlier and mentioned how we stopped by, you know, a couple weeks ago, and love the beers that you all have out already. And I think that, you know, it is a testament to be able to do really classic styles really very well. Now, moving beyond that, what are you excited to kind of introduce along the way? Is there a recipe or something that, you know, you've been kind of eyeing and feel like it's the perfect fit for Raíces that people can look forward to?
Well, obviously, we haven't had the opportunity to start with our lagers yet, but it's coming.
It takes a little time.
It already started. We're going to have offers related to lager styles, beers. I think the way we incorporate the culture more, even beyond the beer per se, because in a way it's like reinventing the wheel is not what we're doing here. We know that humanity, society, cultures have been doing beer for millennia.
Yeah.
So having the opportunity to people to come here and identify in a very, not necessarily in terms of numbers, but in a scale that pertain to them and say, oh, I remember, for example, with our product, Malta, our non-alcoholic.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Malta because actually my roommate who came with me the other day was mentioning how in Nigeria when he was growing up, he actually had a similar kind of beverage, and you know, it was ironic because earlier that day he had been talking about, you know, that kind of beverage and how he hadn't experienced it anywhere else here in the US until he came here. So really cool to have that connection with him. But yeah, tell people a little bit more about the Malta. Yeah.
I grew up in the Caribbean. You know, I'm from Puerto Rico, grew up in Puerto Rico. We have that influence from the influences that we have from different cultures in the past.
Sure.
You know, from Africa, from Europe, and stuff like that. And yeah, I grew up, I always said that Malta for us was like a root beer could be for a kid here in the States. And you always had, it's a very simple product. It's not an alcoholic beverage, but it transports you to places just like flavors and aromas and smells and colors and certain visuals could transport us to moments in our life. Mm-hmm. Well, the same way, whenever we're gonna get into the opportunities of presenting these fruits from typical or traditional and not even that anybody else is or somebody else is doing it, but to do it with the combination of the rest of the elements of this place, I think it completes the experience, and it could really make you transport them in a little bit of the music, a little bit of the scene.
Yeah.
And then with those flavors being featured in those beers, it's like we hope that that's what we can do and transport people to their childhood, to their adult life at some point, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Now, I want to jump back to something that we touched on a little bit before. You know, it seems like this year was a bit of a watershed year when it came to, and even maybe the past 3 years in particular, in terms of finally shining a light on the lack of diversity in the craft beer industry. You know, we saw that with Founders Brewing. We saw that in a number of breweries who have, you know, co-opted certain races in their branding or in their marketing. How important is it now? And I guess, do you feel a bit of responsibility in terms of helping to usher in an era of more diversity and inclusiveness in craft beer? Do you feel like there's any sort of weight of that in what you all are doing here with Rices?
It's probably very, very centric to what we're doing. From the beginning of this project, we were very intentional with the experience that you would get in this place. And it would just not be about the beer, sure. by itself. we always thought we want people to come in here, feel welcome, hear their music, taste their history, hear their language, see people of all colors, and just feel welcome and have a good time and make it okay for them to want to learn or to be new to this. And so it was very important for us to build this in a way in which it would be about the beer, and it would be about the programming, and it would be about the food. All of those elements coming together were something that we had planned from the very beginning. Shortly after we had finished our business plan and we started looking for financing and all that stuff, that's when the reports from the Brewers Association started to come out, talking about the importance of breweries not just being breweries.
Yeah.
Talking about, hey, you have to be about more than just that. You have to have activities happening in your tap room. You have to have a way in which you can engage with people other than just beer. And we always had that very present, right, Martin?
If I could add something in that same line, the language, Spanish, most of the literature related to beer culture, beer history, beer making, production, and everything, in most than any other language is in English. But if you try to find literature in Spanish, it's almost impossible. So yeah. Something that I have always foresee from this project was me just as a brewer being able to communicate. Granted, this is a country where we speak English, but not everybody would have that, you know, that language situation, and it would be a barrier for them. Just me being able to talk to them and communicate the beer culture, and just like we always do it in English, for example, in Spanish, for people that don't have that alternative. I think that by itself is a small little detail, but it's...
Well, yeah, it's something that we sometimes take for granted, and people always ask the question, you know, what can we do to make this a more diverse brewing industry? Well, yeah, I think the language is certainly a starting point, and I think that's really interesting that you bring that up.
And I'll also add that it's, you know, there's a lot of people that speak both languages as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But sometimes just us explaining things in Spanish, it's a matter of comfort. Mm-hmm. And people just, they just immediately start opening up about wanting to know more. And so that level of comfort is really important for us. The other thing that we wanted to accomplish here was that we wanted people to know that there's paths in which they can be involved in this industry.
Sure.
And not just as workers and not just as assistants, but as owners. we wanted to encourage more people to become owners and what it is, what kind of road do they have to take to get to that point.
That's really incredible. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I last year during the Colorado Brewers Guild's summit, they actually had Dr. J. Nicole Beckham, the Diversity and Inclusiveness Director for the Brewers Association, come and speak. And she mentioned the issue of you know, authenticity and diversity. And one of the things that I think I took away the most from that discussion was the fact that she was like, you know, we have to be truly authentic, and we also have to allow, you know, the communities that we're trying to have represented, we should actually have them represented in our programming. And I think that you all clearly do a natural job of that. But, you know, the example that she said was, you know, I've seen breweries, she's walked into breweries where it's just all white owners, and they want to throw a hip hop night just to pretend like they're trying to, you know, try to be more diverse just by throwing a hip hop night. Well, it's not as simple as that. You're in a sense, you're co-opting that, you know, that race, you're co-opting that cultural heritage by not being authentic with it. And so I think that's really important now. I think that there are breweries, even here in Denver, that sometimes may not be as authentic as they, you know, claim in their marketing to be. And so I think it's important that we do have more owners that actually are speaking to those communities.
It's a very fine line between, I guess, being able to represent other cultures and appropriating those cultures.
Absolutely.
It's such a sensitive line that we don't have the answer, and we're no one to be criticizing anybody, nor do we want to do it. But what we do want to do is to bring authenticity to what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think so far we've been doing it well. We're doing what we know, which is Latin culture. Martin is doing the beers, and he's excellent at it. Tamil does an excellent job at putting all of those events together and just kind of keeping all of this while maintaining the collaborative spirit with other breweries and kind of supporting off of each other. What we're doing is, it's kind of key on kind of staying afloat. Yeah.
I think one of the biggest reasons why this movement took off so strong and lasted for all the years that have lasted here in the United States specifically, because it came from natural places. It came from home brewing. It came from the very basic way of beer unifying people into the social part, into the getting together.
Yeah.
And by us, like Jose said, showing not by words, but showing that we as Latins could also create something from the bottom and develop it, I think it naturally, there's no need to a specific underlining anything. It's just, this is who we are. And
yeah.
Who I am is that street in Bayamón and in the urban area called San Fernando in Puerto Rico, where I grew up with my mom, my dad, my aunts, my uncles. That is who I am. In combination, obviously, you live and you keep, you know, adding up elements to your life, but I think that thing by itself was beautiful. That's how I got into this project. How excited!
That's awesome. Yeah.
There's another layer to all of this as well, and I remember when we were working on the development of this project, we were working in the different types of people that we wanted in here. We actually wanted everybody to come in here, but we wanted the brewery to be things for different people. So for Latino people, would be a place for them to come in and find things that they could identify with.
Sure.
You know, when you see your culture, when you see it, feel it, smell it, taste it, it's something wonderful, right? And like Martin said, it transports you. If you're not Latino, we want you in here because we want this to be a place of learning. Mm-hmm. and inclusion. We want you to learn about the vastness of Latino culture. We usually get put into the same basket as one monoculture, but we are so many different cultures, which even change by region. We don't eat all the same thing, we don't drink all the same thing, we don't look alike, we don't speak the same way, but there's some common element that brings us all together. Mm-hmm. And what we want for people that are not Latinos is for them to come and learn about that, but also to partake in those celebrations with us.
Yeah.
That is so important because we're creating community where the sociopolitical atmosphere is calling for our division.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important to us, right?
Absolutely.
Totally.
Now, touch a little bit on, you all have your big grand opening this weekend. For those who maybe haven't been by before, what can they expect from the celebration? Tell us a little bit about the beers that are going to be on tap. And I'm very excited for you guys.
So I'll talk about the opening and I want you to talk about the beers. The celebration is from 11 a.m. until midnight. And we're kicking it off first with a ribbon cutting ceremony along with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And Mayor Michael B. Hancock will be there to say a few remarks. We'll cut the ribbon. We'll have a catered food, Martin's beers, and we'll have some beer releases, which I'll let him talk to you guys about. Then throughout the day, we're going to have different activities and live groups performing. So there's going to be a lot of live music, a lot of dancing, a lot of activities for all ages. And we want everybody to come. It's going to be free. Not the beers, but the activities. Martin, talk about the beers.
Well, one of them is going to be a very classic that you don't see too much in the scene nowadays. An American stout is going to be one of the ones that day. Then we're going to have a beer that we call Celebration. There's trends right now that points to a style of beer like a seltzer, or a style of, in this case, this beer is not a seltzer, but it's as close, I would say, probably a little bit more character, but very easy to drink, effervescent. And then we're gonna be, since there's certain situations with the time and us having an array of fruit beers, we gonna do something that we have seen that the industry have been doing for quite some time now, and it seems very attractive and entertaining. We're gonna do swirls of different flavors.
Oh, cool.
So in a way, we're calling some of them mimosas, so you're gonna have the opportunity to taste the beer as it is, or say, okay, swirly this or that.
Yeah.
We're gonna have three different flavors. Then we're gonna have a special, very small batch release of a Christmas, we would call it in Puerto Rico, but it's more like a holiday type of ale, incorporating chocolate, coconut. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be entertaining, and it's gonna give us the opportunity for people to have a glance and to be teased by the things that we're gonna eventually do and more often. And
really awesome.
No,
that sounds fantastic. Well, congratulations once again on your all's upcoming opening. For those who are listening in, just a reminder to be sure to come out and join. Rice is brewing this Saturday, December 7th, from, you said, 11 a.m. to
until we get kicked out.
Once again, they're located at 2060 West Colfax Avenue. That's just right around the corner from the Broncos Stadium. This is also a great stop to grab a beer before the game, too. Highly recommend it. So be sure to come out and check out Races Brewing for their grand opening. A big thank you to Martin and for Jose for joining us today. This has been episode 65 of the Porchcast. Thank you, Sam, for rocking the mic as well. And we'll check you later.
I like what you're listening to? Be sure to follow The Porchcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and whatever listening devices you may follow. You can also follow Porch Drinking on Twitter and Instagram at @porchdrinkingco.